All right, I want you to turn with me this morning to the Gospel of John and chapter number 6, and then we're going to turn to Acts chapter number 26, and we'll speak to you from those verses today. I want to share a little bit about my testimony with you, how I was raised and other things like that for just a minute. Then we'll tie these verses in, okay? In Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." In verse 66, the Bible said, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away?" I want you to notice that now. "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Now would you turn to Acts 26, verse number 22. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue." Notice this now. "I continue unto this day." How long had it been, preacher? Over 30 years he had continued. Paul was saved later in life. But here he is, still going. And I want you to notice something else. He was still preaching the same message. Same message. Message hadn't changed. The message is the same for his generation and for our generation. And I'm amazed how preachers are changing their message. "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day." Right now. Unto this day. This day. Right now. "Saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." Acts 26, verse 1. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." This is what he said. First thing he said, "I think myself happy." Well, he could have said anything else. I mean, here he was in the judgment hall of these men that could have sentenced him to death. And the first thing he said was, "I'm so depressed, I don't know what to do." Is that what he said? He said, "I'm thinking myself happy." How many of you think yourself happy because you're saved today? Come on. Well, you're in the house of God. You ain't the judgment court of those who could put you to death. You're in the house of God. You can't say it in the house of God. You're in trouble. "I think myself happy. Because," watch this now, "I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things whereof I'm accused of the Jews." Now, I want you to notice verse 16 now. This is Paul's testimony of when he got saved. I heard some of that this morning. But rise and stand upon your feet, the Lord Jesus talking to Paul. I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen. Now watch at this now. You don't want to miss this verse. And of those things in the which I will appear unto you, unto thee, delivering thee from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being amongst the Lord's people today. Holy Ghost, would you come? Would you come and help us? For you said in your word, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over these services. We ask you to bind all evil away from the preaching of the Word of God today, that the people of God might have their hearts open and their minds open today, that the lost might see themselves in need of Christ today is our hope and prayer today. Lead us and guide us, we pray, to help the people of the Lord who are here today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning on, Lord, I'm still here. Lord, I'm still here. I was converted in 1970 in a little apartment building. I told a bunch of people what happened to me, and no one wanted to hear it. I attended my first church meeting with a Renton Baptist preacher, a man called Marty Pugh. And there I listened to that preaching, and I said, boy, I sure like it. My wife, Judy, was saved almost, I'd say about a year and a half or so later by the grace of God. We came up in an old church building where the highway ran right in front of the storefront building, no more than 10 or 15 feet from where the front door of the storefront church was. I remember the first time I shouted, I ran out and a car almost ran over me. I was saved at 21 years old. We had a revival there when the pastor came. And we saw 100 professions of faith in Christ, and the Lord built an old-fashioned glory church. We had people who hated us in that neighborhood, and the man who hated us the most and who stood against us the most ended up committing suicide in his driveway. I'll never forget it as long as I live, and all hindrances to the building of the house of God ended. I was called into full-time service in 1976. And I've been in full-time service now over 40 years. And I tell you, I've never tired of the house of God. I'm still here. I left home, traveled 250 miles to a little church that couldn't pay me nothing. And I said, well, the Lord wants me to go, and I went. Stayed there for 7 years with those fine people, and the Lord moved me to Georgia. My daughter was saved in the state of Georgia, in a little storefront church that I was pastoring. I remember the days of the Pleasant Hill Church when I was in between churches while Lamar Rackley was a pastor, and the Lord blessed us so. I remember the Second Baptist Church where I pastor now, and the pulpit committee coming there. And I was so excited because I hadn't preached in a very long time. And the Lord sent me a message that He didn't owe me nothing. And so I became a beggar, and I said, Lord, would you please let me pastor if you want me to? And He opened the door for me. And at the Dallas Second Baptist Church, we saw many people make professions of faith, and many were converted in these 21 years. I saw my son saved there, saw my son-in-law saved there. We baptized many people over the last 21 years. In the last 2 years, we haven't had anybody saved. And preachers are reporting to me all over the country and telling me, something's going on, preacher. We're not having people saved like we used to. We're not having people coming into the church like we used to. And folks, what you have to understand today is that we're in the day of apostasy, and people are finding a lot of other things to do in this prosperous land of ours besides thinking about the Lord. The results are very limited in my church at this time. Now, he started building it again last week. You see, my friend, the Lord is in no hurry. We're always in a hurry. We can't stay in line in Walmart long enough without getting impatient. This is the most impatient generation I've ever seen. If you don't believe that, just drive on 85 a little while. The Lord is not impatient. The world turns very slowly, 24 hours a day. And the Lord's walking. He's not running. And we're trying to run ahead of Him and trying to get Him to catch up. And I think what's happening in our generation, we have to realize where we are and what we're dealing with in this prosperous nation. Have you ever noticed that when we have a national calamity that people come to church quite regularly? And then when the calamity subsides, God becomes their spare tire. The spare tire gets fixed and they go back to doing what they were doing. That's where we are right now in this generation, in this apostasy that we're in. So if you're not seeing the results that you usually see, then you're going to have to look for Him in other places besides professions of faith. If you think that the Lord is just limited to professions of faith to help you today, then you've got tunnel vision. The Lord is well able to take care of His people and to take them above the apostasy of this generation. When I got saved, this wasn't an experiment to me. I'm not experimenting with Christianity. I'm experiencing it. I'm experiencing Christianity. I'm not fooling with this for a few years and then just throw it away because of all the things I've just mentioned to you. What am I going to do? Take all these things that I've mentioned to you, and there's 100 things that I didn't mention to you that are very important to me that I've given and I've sacrificed for the glory of Jesus Christ. So what am I going to do in my old age? Just say, okay, I got enough. I'm going to throw it away. I want to say this to all of you. If you've ever met Christ, you can't get over it and you can't get past it. I've had lots of people that I've known since I've been saved. In these years that I've been saved, I've heard some hard preaching. I don't need a, thank God for all of you that are here today, but I don't need a multitude to stay with Jesus. I don't need a lot of people coming to church to stay with Jesus. I don't need entertainment to stay with Jesus in the house of God. The Lord Jesus even said, He said, boys, He said, the word that I speak unto you is spirit and life. All the multitude was in that high enthusiasm and high energy situation. That was a high energy situation. Agreed? And what the Lord did, He said, now, He said, I want to see if you're going to stay. I want to see if the true disciples are going to stay with me. He was testing them. He'll test you. He'll test your sincerity. He tested mine. What if the only thing that you had around the Liberty Baptist Church was the presence of Christ and the Word of God, and you didn't have nothing else? Would that be enough for you? Hey, come on, look at me. He was testing them. Thank God for what you have and anything else that you have, and thank God for it, because it proceeds from the foundation of Jesus Christ, His presence and the Word of God, so thank God for it. What happens if He would test you, though? What happens if He sends persecution to Bowdoin, Georgia? And it would be a real test to come to church because it would mean that you're being persecuted for coming here. And that's still coming. It's coming. Would you stay with Him? Would you be able to stay with Paul? Because Paul was saying to all of us, I've been beat, I've been whipped, I've been persecuted, and everything else. He said, I don't need nothing else but my Lord. I'm still here. He started preaching hard is what Jesus did. I've heard some hard preaching in my lifetime. I've heard such hard preaching, I'm honest, I sat down there as a churchman and I said, how in the world do these people take it? Have you ever said that? Oh, Brother Ken gets wound up. You said, good night, I can hardly take it. And I said, sure enough, it can't get no harder than that. But I was a church member then, and I sat where you are. And I said, good night, I'll get my hide peeled today, but Lord, I gotta need it.
and the preaching was hard. But I want to tell you, my friend, I'm still here. I went off and I said, good night. Looks like some people got offended at that one. I've seen people get angry at preaching stuff out of the church, murmur about it. I mean, brother, it was just... And brother, I've had people to tell me they didn't like it at the back door. I don't stand at the back door no more. No, sir, Brother Kim, ain't going to do it. I want people to get saved just like you do. But I'm going to tell you, there's some folks who have to get offended about the way they're living before they get saved. And this new message we got that offends nobody, nobody can get saved under that. Holy Ghost conviction is what you got to get under. And you'll feel bad about the way you live it. Just when I thought that preaching couldn't get stronger, I went over to Edgar Thomas's camp meeting and I sat there petrified. I said, I've heard all the hard preaching. I'm ready for this one. And those old men of God that have gone on before stood up and preached, and I'm sitting there, oh my goodness, and I'm sitting down there, Lord, I wonder if I'm saved here with all this. But I want to tell you, friend, I'm still here. Amen! I'm still here! The master started preaching hard, is what he did. The Bible said he spoke a word to them. I want to say this to you, my dear one. I don't come to church just to hear the preaching. The Bible said that Jesus spoke a word to them. That's personal. That's personal. I said that's personal. We come to church and we hear a general word, and I love the general word. But I love it when He speaks to me directly. And when He speaks to me directly, it makes me want to be here. I look for that. I long for that. Lord, I'm still here because I really believe this story. The story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. I really believe it with all my heart. I'm still here. Lord, evidently You drew me. You did this. My family wants me to explain, and I've tried, and they don't understand what happened to me. All I was a bar-hopping drunk. And they knew I was. And all of it changed. And they wanted an explanation. And I tried, but they didn't understand. So evidently You drew me and You changed me, Lord Jesus. And I'm still here because of it. I've seen so many go back. I've seen so many who sat next to me in the pews go back. I've seen them stand next to me in the choir when I was a member and they held their hands up. Some of them preached on the street corners and they're back in the country joints singing country music. And they're back doing the things they used to do 10 years in a local church where they held their hands up. And they've got no desire to go back whatsoever. I've seen them sit right next to me. Maybe you have too. And they got out. I was attached to those people. I love those people. I worked with them overtime to try to get them to see some truth. And they claim to see some truth. I'm telling you what we're up against in this generation. And when they left, they took a part of my soul with me. And when people you love leave the church after they sat next to you, after you fellowship with them in the fellowship hall, after you've been out to eat with them, and they go back, it takes a part of you with them. That's what they do. But I want to say this to you. I'm still here. I believe that many of them stayed for the show, not for the word. I'm staying not for the show. I'm staying because I'm in love with Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed to tell you. I love Jesus Christ. I said, I love the Lord Jesus. How many of you can say it today? I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know Him well enough to say, I love my Jesus. And when I say I love my Jesus, that's personal. He's my Jesus. He's not just Jesus. He's my Jesus. And because He's my Jesus, I'm still here. Others have gone, but I'm still here. Maybe they loved Him for what He could give them. Maybe You can get me out of this mess that I'm in. And I'll love You as long as I'm in the mess. But if You get me out, I'm gone. I love Him for not what He's done for me. He's done some wonderful things for me. I love Him today for who He is. I'm still here. Some of my family who I witnessed to and have loved, even your own children and grandchildren will leave. After you've done the best you can, after your conscience is clear and you said, I've done all I know to do, they leave your side. And there's something that pulls on you that you can hardly take. And you know you've done all you can do. You've listened to the preaching. You've come to the house of God. And you said, Lord, what did I do wrong? And then you might have said to yourself, maybe I just need to go with them. Maybe I just need to go with them. But I couldn't do it. Lord, I got to stay here. My family's left. Some of my children are going their own way. But I want to tell you something. It's pulled and jerked my heart out. But I'm still here. I got nowhere to go. He's got what we need. If you go somewhere else, go on. You're going to do it anyhow. I'm still sure that You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm still here. I know I belong to You. I know I'm Yours. Lord, I'm still here. I've seen the devil amongst us. How many of you have seen the devil amongst you? How many of you have seen the devil amongst in your family? How many of you have seen it all? I want to say this to you. It'll shake you up, my friend, if you're not very careful. But I want to tell you something. There was one devil in the midst of those 12 disciples. And just as sure as there's a God in heaven, there could be the devil here today. But I want to say this to all of you. In spite of 10 devils or one, it doesn't make no difference. I'm still here! I've seen people charge the pulpit. I've seen people try to beat my pastor up. I've seen him have gatherings and say, we're going to kick him out. I've seen all kinds of other things. I've seen fightings. I've seen threatenings. I've seen people say ugly things to me. I've seen people threaten me. I've seen all of that. And I'm going to tell you this, my friend. They're not here anymore. But I'm still. Somebody say amen. I'm still here. The same will always be here. They may get out of sorts. Here and there, you may have to help them because sheep get dirty real easy. The same will still be here. They'll always be here. They're the ones that make the church go. If you sit next to the exit signs, my dear one, why don't you get in the middle of the field? You know why you have football games in the middle? It's so everybody can sit. How many of you like 50-yard line seats? How many of you like to sit in the end zone? Well, we don't. That's all the best we can do. Well, there's Christians sitting in the end zone. You know where you need to be? Where Jesus is. You know where Jesus is? Right in the midst. And you need to be on the 50-yard line in the church, and you need to quit sitting next to the exit signs in the end zone. Say amen! Get in there! Get in the middle of it! And get here and play the game and quit sitting in the bleachers. Hallelujah! And let God use you in the house and be part of the foundation of a good church. Say amen!
I don't see how you can hear what Jesus is saying sitting up there in the end zone. He's in the midst. Those that are still here, encourage the pastor. Preacher, that's why you're here. 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure all things for that pastor. For the elect's sake. And for simplicity's sake, we're going to call the elect, and I think it's a good general definition for you. Believers who've been saved. Converted people who come to Christ and receive Christ. The Bible said, Brother Ken, I endure all things for them real believers that are still here. I want to tell you something, folks. I've had to live that verse. There's been some things going on in the church. I'm honest from time to time. I said, I believe I'll retire from this. Then the Holy Ghost speaks to you and said, I ain't got nothing else for you to do. Now, I didn't lie. He didn't say nothing else, but I got a feeling that what was going to be said next might as well take you home. You've got nothing else to do. This is what I was ordained to do. I've got an arranged marriage. Got to throw something in on that. Those of you that missed it last night. I got me an arranged marriage. You know, in the old days, you know, them kings, what they used to do is they used to pick out a woman and then they'd give it to that king. And it was arranged. I want to say this to you, my friend. Me and my wife were the most likely to fall when we got married. Because we were two different pods and different peas in a pod, too. I want to tell you. We was two different peas in a different pod. And everybody said they'll never make it. But when I got saved, I found out that God had arranged a relationship for a pastor's wife and a pastor. You just can't have anybody to be a pastor's wife. And my wife is a true pastor's wife. My marriage was arranged. And I'll tell you, you got to work extra hard on them arranged marriages. And those of you that have a wonderful woman today, that thing's been arranged. So why don't you make the best of it? Well, she said, if you say, well, I've been through one already, I won't tell you, well, take care of the one you got then. God forgives you for all that stuff anyway. So if you got a good one now, take care of them. I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm going to give you another reason why I'm still here. I'm still here because I'm still there. Now, I'm not trying to be catchy with you. I'm still here because I'm still there. Now, watch what Paul did. In one day, Paul took him over a 30-year period and went there with him. He said, I'm still here, but I want to tell you why I'm still here. I'm still there. See, the reason that people aren't here anymore is because they've never been there. Because you see, had they been there, they'd have never got over what they found there. One preacher told me the other day, he said, I got past all of that. You see, what he's telling me, he's never been there. I got over that stuff that you're preaching on. I've never gotten over it. Evidently, he's never been there. That's why he ain't here no more.
I'm going to say to all of you, my friend, if you ever get there, you'll be here. I'm going to say this to you now. When Paul started going with that, he said, I'm too glad to speak for myself. I want to say to all of you, if you've ever been there, you know what to say. This brother that stood up knew what to say. I'm amazed at the silence of church members who say they're saved. In my preaching, Brother Ken, I've spoken for a lot of people. I spoke for people that were my members that I wonder whether they ever got saved. Sad. Because when I went to the funeral home, it was dark. The way you tell, my friends, when you go to a funeral home, there ain't no glory of the Holy Ghost there. Where's the glory of the Holy Ghost? Then I've been around, I've buried saved people, and brother, you're going in, the glory of God is in there, like the angels are hovering in there. And I mean, the shout is on, and the liberty is on. And I want to tell you, I love to have funerals in the church. Funeral homes, well, I'm going to tell you something, the Lord knows all about it. My mama was buried, we had a funeral in her house. You go to funeral homes now, it's hard, but I mean, that glory, son, is tough. I'm not going to say, tell y'all what to do. I'm not here for that. I like to wheel my members through the church. Just pay the extra $50 and have the ambulance carry up to the house of God and put it, let's run into the house of God and let's shout and let's just carry on. And I mean, brother, you weren't raised in a funeral home chapel. Say amen. I mean, we shout ourselves half to death, brother, go to funeral home, brother. And the church comes in there, but it's hard to shout in the funeral home. Why? Because the glory ain't there. The glory here. I've had troubles with all of that. Now, I'm going to say something to you, folks. I've seen the glory fall in our churches and the Holy Ghost get a hold of people. And I just like, I'll tell you, Brother Ken, the Holy Ghost is still at Liberty Baptist Church. Still here. Giving liberty to God's people. I want to tell you what, if I was here, I'd stay here. I'm still here because I know where God is. It's up to Liberty Baptist Church. That's why I'm still here. I'm still in my church because the glory is in mine. You see, if you've ever been there, you'll never get over it. I want to say to some of you, the sun's going down on your life. Paul, 60 years old, he dies at 64. 4 years later, he's dead. His head's cut off. I want to say to all of you, my friend, I've been saved longer than Paul, and the sun is going down on my life. I'm almost 68 years old. And some of you are here today and the sun is going down on your life and it's time to quit playing. It's time to quit playing and experiment. Paul was late in life. And the Lord had equipped him. When Paul stood before these two men, he had his mind full of spiritual information that he couldn't wait to tell. Everybody that's saved wants to tell. How can you help but telling it if you've been there? I want to share this with you now. When I got saved, it was an experience. I didn't just believe, and I'm grateful that for those of you that believe, but I promise you, if you ever get saved, it's going to be an experience. And I want to tell you something else. The Lord Jesus appeared to me not in the way that He did to Paul, but in that little apartment building in June of 1970, the Lord Jesus Himself came into that room in the power and work of the Holy Ghost, and I knew something supernatural had come into that room. And I saw myself lost and going to a devil's hell when He was in that room. You can't see that until He comes on you. And you'll never forget that experience. You'll never get past it.
No, sir.
You'll never go by it. Paul knew this. And I want to say something else to you. Over these last 47 years that the Lord has saved this preacher, the Lord has enforced in my life what happened back there 47 years ago. He appeared to me on that night 47 years ago. I felt that presence and I knew I was lost. But He's appeared to me a bunch of times since then. And those of you that know what I'm talking about, that's shouting ground. And the reason I'm still here is because He's reinforced that. In all my life, I have seen Him. He's appeared to me on numbers of occasions to let me know it's all well. Hallelujah. I'm still here because He keeps on showing up in my life. Do you know what I'm talking about? See, only those that have been there and are still here know what I'm talking about. You don't have no problem with the words. If you're still silent, I've spoken for a lot of people. How many of you mamas have spoken for your children, but they haven't spoken for themselves? I promise you this, you are required to speak for yourself. Because when you leave this world, and you're going out of this world, you're not taking the wife with you who stood for you. You're not taking that husband with you either. You are required to speak for yourself. I know what to say. I want to tell you something. If you don't know what to say, you ain't been there. I'm going to say it again. If you don't know what to say, you ain't never been there. And you won't be here long. It don't matter whether it takes 5 years, whatever it is. You won't be here. And one day, next year, or the year after I get to come back here, if at all, I won't see you here. It's because you've never been there. And you're showing that you've never been there.
Right. That's exactly right. I believe.
That's lots of people used to be. I've just never been able to get there because I've been there. That's why I'm still here. I want to say this to you. I've been to a lot of theirs since I've been saved. He's taken me to a lot of theirs. I've been delivered from many things. I've been delivered from people who sought to do me harm, and I was delivered. How many of you that are here today and you're still here and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord has delivered you on many occasions and He's reinforced that to you and the reason you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt He's delivered you. That's why you're still here! I'm staying right next to Jesus. Because I'm honest with you, I ain't found nothing better to go on.
You're right.
Once you meet Him, you're going to discover that there ain't nothing better than Him. Come on, say amen. Those of you that are still here, help me out here. I'm still here, say amen! I want to say this to you. Well, I know Him, preacher. I want to ask you another question. Does He know you? Because the Bible says right down there that the Lord Jesus said He appeared to Paul many times to let him know that He knew him. Do you think the only thing that you have to do is say, well, I know Him. Well, wait a minute. Does He know you? Does He know you? I said, does He know you, though? Because once you get saved, my friend, really saved and converted, it's an experience! That you'll never, glory to God, never forget. I can't forget it. I can't deny it. I'm not just saying Jesus is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me like it's some kind of byword or some kind of byphrase. Some kind of little shallow song that I'm singing. I'm saying that to you because I've had the experience of knowing Him. And I'll say what? He's experienced knowing me. And I'm still here because I know He knows me. And He makes sure that you know that He knows you. The little children ought not to doubt. Oh, I know it can get in your life. I know how the devil does. But it won't be long before He comes on the scene to deliver you from your doubt. He delivers you from all these things. He doesn't want you to doubt. And the way you get rid of doubt is He comes on the scene to rescue you. He appears to you again and again and again to continually deliver His little children, to give them victory, and that's why they're still here.
Exactly. Good preaching.
Amen. Every one of you that's been saved for years, you've been prepped for the day Paul had. You're being prepped right now. You're being prepped for a testimony for the glory of God. Oh, yeah. Paul was permitted to speak. But I want to say this to you. He was prepared to speak. Paul had something to say. He couldn't wait to say it. Because he had been there. Everybody that's been there has something to say.
Yes. Yes.
And it's going to be about glorifying Jesus. Paul was confident too. Wait a minute, I can't wait to speak. I'm very happy to speak. I know in whom I believed. I want to let you boys know. I'm not just rehearsing a bunch of lines. I'm honest with you, folks. People rehearse lines in the day that we're living in. But when the Lord Jesus saves you, it's a powerful intervention. When I got saved in the night I got saved, it was not a profession. And it wasn't just a procedure that somebody told me to go through. It was a powerful intervention from the other side. It was a close encounter with another world. It changed my life forever. I fell down and I never fell down before. Jesus clearly identified Himself to me, and I knew who it was dealing with me. I was instantly converted by the power of God. And He's been doing wonderful things for me all my life. And I continue to this day because of what He did for me. I want to ask you a question. I'm still here. Because I'm still there. And I want to close with this. Where are you? Where are you? See, the sun's going down, folks. That profession and that procedure and all these other things you went through, and there's no reality. None. You could be here and it's optional for you to be here. I want to say this to you. It ain't optional for me to be here. I don't have that option anymore. You're not saved here today. You know it. You already know it in your heart. You can testify. You can say whatever you want to say. You do all. But I want to say Christ is not a reality in your life, and you know it. You've never experienced converting grace and saving grace. He's never come into your life. Because when you get saved, this thing is personal. He's not some abstract Savior out there, some way out there that I hope I'm saved and all this other mess. I want to tell you, I know I'm saved today, not because I was determined to get saved. It was because He was determined to save me. Hallelujah.
Yes. You tell the truth.
Yes.
And I'm still here because He's determined to keep me here. Amen. It's His responsibility to keep me here. And He knows how to do it. And I've met Him, and I've never gotten over Him.
I will
say this now. That's why He's my Jesus. See, if it's not that personal with you, there's something wrong. He's my Jesus. Can you say that with all of those that are sitting here that know the Lord and you've been saved by the good grace of God? You can say that without apology and without being embarrassed. That's my Jesus. Say it again. That's my Jesus. It's not your wife's Jesus, but it may be. Because you've got to speak for yourself. Nobody can speak for you. Because I can tell you that today. Let's say, He's my Jesus. You can repeat the line that I just repeated, and you can say all them lines all you want to. But what's in here? We repeat a lot of lines. One more time. That's my Jesus. Boy, that sounds good. There's a lot of my Jesus people in here. But there's some that ain't, and you can't say it. Because He's just Jesus to you. Just Jesus to you. That's it. Coming here is optional. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I'll experiment a while. I'm going to tell you, you've never experienced saving grace. Because if you've ever experienced saving grace, my friend, you'll never get over it. And you'll never say it's an option again. I got to be where my Jesus is. That's why I'm still here. And that's why a lot of people aren't no more. And you won't be either. Because it'll take a while. But I promise you this, the truth about you will come out. And you won't be here. Everybody that knows Jesus is still here. And they ain't going nowhere. And that's why Brother Ken's here. Because there's some people here that know Him. Where are you today? Have you been there? If you've ever been there, that's why you're still here. I got you. That's one of them gotcha things. You got one way or the other. There ain't no in-betweens in this. I'm still here, and it ain't no option, because I've been there. I met a living Christ, and He did a work in my heart, and I'm just not about to get over it. I ain't got to. I'm going to tell you something. He won't let me get over it. He appears to me over and over and over again, brother, constantly, reaffirming me. And reinforcing the faith that I have and saying, everything's all right. Does He do that for you? Because if He don't, you ain't never been there. That's the only reason Paul was still there after all that. He should have quit a long time ago. Beaten, shipwrecked, all that. I got enough. I quit. I'm done. This is an enduring religion you're in. It's an enjoying religion. Oh, yeah. But this is an enduring religion, my friend. Only the saved will be here. And I believe this with all my heart. God allows the lost to come into the church to give them a chance to be saved. You got a chance to make it right. To be sincere about this. God wants to save you. He wants to save you. He wants to make Himself real to you. But you got to move. Step out. Step out and say by faith, I want Christ. I want to live in Christ. I want the real Christ. I want Him in my heart. I'm tired of playing this. I'm tired of experimenting with this. I'm tired of church being an option. I want it to be real. I want to be here when Jesus comes. I want to be here in the house of God around God's people. Have you been there? Where are you? Have you been there? Because if you've ever been there, you'll still be here. Let's all stand.